You are listening to Embodied People, a podcast co-hosted by Sarah Donahue and myself, Colleen Wall. We are both somatic movement educators and dance professors. We are also faculty at Integrated Movement Studies. In this podcast, we explore all things embodied. We explore anatomy, we explore meaning, metaphor, and how we make sense of out of our lives through our bodies. We also talk about developmental motor patterning, how it affects our psychological and emotional and psychic states as adults. And we really love to offer you movement practices and meditations that deepen your experience of your body so that your body is a generative place for you in your life. That is, it helps guide you towards and supports you in living the life that is most fulfilling for you. This podcast is sponsored by Integrated Movement Studies, and that is a certification program in the Laban-Bartynieff Movement Studies system. And if you'd like more information on Integrated Movement Studies and what the Laban-Bartynieff system is, beyond what we offer in this podcast, you can check out our website, imsmovement.com.
Hello and welcome to Embodied People. This is Sarah Donahue, and I am going to continue today along our little trajectory of developmental progression that we've been moving through the past couple episodes. So if you haven't listened to the last three, four, you could go back if you wanted to, but I can give you a quick overview that we've had quite a few episodes on breath. I think we'll probably always come back to that one. And then core distal is the next pattern in developmental progression. And after that, we move into head-tail, finding sense of self and individual. And then last week, Colleen took us through upper-lower, which is a really big pattern. it's one of the big ones. And then so today, I'm going to be focusing on body half. And I love body half, so I'm really glad I got to do this one. body half feels really good to me. So let me dive in and kind of explain a little bit about what this is. So when we are developing as infants and again throughout our lives as we make sense of our movement and organize our movement in bodily and psychological ways, body half is the pattern where we find sidedness, we find rightness and leftness, this or that. And so let's start actually on the body level, and I invite you to engage in this in any way that you like. But if you think for a moment about just drawing a line, like right down the middle of your body, so you've got your right eyeball and your right ear, and it's significant that I just went to the right side instead of the left side to start. I am right-handed. I'm very, very right-handed. Like, I can't seem to do most things with my left hand. But you've got your whole right side of your body. So if you want to just draw a little line with me, right down the middle of your body, and just feeling what this right side, you could be sitting, standing, whatever you like, with this right side of your body, or if you choose to do left side first, that's totally fine, what it feels like, and how it might even have its own personality or its own tendencies, its own injuries, its own life. Maybe it's got a scar on that side or a tattoo, or there's something maybe significant or different about your right side or left side. But just feeling that whole right side, so eyeball, ear, like one half of your nose, one half of your mouth and your neck and throat, and one half of your sternum, which I love to think of it like that's kind of like this little opportunity for mobility in your sternum, like a little butterfly opening and closing. And then, of course, we've got this right arm with our shoulder, and Colleen beautifully talked us through like all the bones of our arms and our legs and the upper lower pattern. So you can go back to that and kind of feel that if you like. But we've got this right arm. And what does your right arm and your right hand, right? Our hands are so incredibly mobile and expressive. And what does it do, and what is it like to do, and what are some of its movements? And we keep going down. We have a right side of our torso and of our belly. And depending on how familiar you are with like internal organs, you might know like or sense like different sides of your organs, how they kind of fall. They're not exactly symmetrical in our bodies. So where we might have more organs on one side than the other, I'd have to look at an anatomy book to figure that one out. But and then we've got the right side of our pelvis, right ovary if you have ovaries, right sits bones, the right leg, the right knee, right shin and foot. So you've got this whole right-sidedness to you. And maybe just moving that for a moment, seeing like what does that feel like to have this right side body? And almost like highlighting it, I sometimes like to imagine like it's a certain color. And what color would it be? Right now mine is kind of like a purpley blue feeling. Like it's got this sort of ease to it and flow to it right now, which is nice. But what does my right side do for me? And what do I do with it? What sort of movements do I do a lot? Like I said, I'm right-handed, so I do a lot of things with my right hand. And I write with my right hand. And I eat with my right hand. And I'll pour water from a pitcher. Like I'll switch hands over to me just so I have the precision. So my right side gives me a lot of precision. It gives me a lot of accuracy, specifically my right hand and my right arm. When we go through our daily tasks, what do we do with our right hand? Do you open the door with your right hand? When you're driving, how do you use your right hand there? When you're connecting with other humans, how do you use your right side, your right-sidedness? There's the whole back of our body too. We often think about the fronts of our bodies, but there's the whole back right side of your body to consider. So there is that side. I'm just noticing what it's feeling, what it's saying right now. And then you can switch to the other side. If you started with left, you can switch to right. If you started with right, you could switch to left. And maybe just bringing in a little bit of movement, just a little playful stirring of the space with your left side. So again, kind of imagining that line right down the middle of your body and how this left side is maybe different. Mine feels very different. My left leg has always felt stronger. It's the leg I used to like jump off of when I was a high jumper in high school. Really not a tall high jumper, but I could jump pretty high. So pushing off the power of my left leg, it's the leg I always put forward when I'm riding my bike. So I preference my left leg for a lot of stability. I also have an injury on my left, like in my left hip that I got over 10 years ago, and it will probably always be there, and it's always this little difference. It's a big difference between my two sides. So that's something about my left side that I am always kind of aware of. And so again, just noticing what does your left side feel like compared to your right side? Or you don't have to necessarily compare, but you might just also notice like, oh, my left side feels like doing this, or it's this color, or it moves in these ways. So we have the sidedness in our bodies. And in babies and toddlers, it's really fun to see this pattern develop. It starts with like creeping on the floor, sort of like army crawl on the floor, kind of ways of like sitting up, but sometimes it moves in body half. And then when toddlers start walking or move, I should say maybe moving through space on their feet, you can see a combination of upper, lower and body half. And I'll try to describe it, but as Colleen talked about last time, the homologous movement of upper lower is often present. So the baby toddler might be kind of wide stance and arms kind of up in maybe up in the air by like head level maybe, and they do this sort of little bouncing movement forward. So they're not walking yet cross laterally, right? They're not like reaching out opposite arm as foot as we see like adults and children and teenagers do. But they're still kind of in this upper lower bouncy feeling. And also they're in this side-sidedness, this body half. And you can see this like beautiful combination of the two in toddlers. So that's like upper lower body half, kind of bouncing forward through space in their like wide sort of wall shape that they do. And then I will never, ever, ever forget this. I remember when I started to see my son move into cross laterality. It was like, it felt like this transition out of toddlerness into childness. And it didn't happen like all of a sudden one day he was walking cross laterally, but I just saw like little streams of it come through his body. And he would like kind of reach out like his left foot and his right arm to move. And I was like, oh, oh, he's growing up. So that's next episode, cross lateral. But so body half, we can look at a couple different animals to see body half in the world, which I love doing. The penguin, I have to start with the penguin. I actually studied movement of penguins for a couple years when I was certifying with integrated movement studies. And I studied it mostly from video because I didn't make it to Antarctica. But penguins walk in body half. It's like interesting to think of how that makes them endearing to us. And they're kind of clumsy in body half. It's not quite as like refined as walking cross-laterally. Lizards, you can think of like a lizard moving in body half. Camels walk in body half. And I've never ridden on a camel, but I've heard that like it's a little disorienting because it feels maybe like one side is falling and then the other side is falling a little bit instead of that spiraling stability of cross-lateral. So check out those animals. There's more probably. But yeah, if you get a chance to look at, you know, animals moving in body half, it's just a different feeling. You can also try walking in body half. So the whole right side of your body would step forward, the whole left side of your body would step forward, and you can exaggerate it, or you can just try to kind of do it like casually, which is kind of funny and weird. But it's also, it's like your body is like, what is going on? So if you want to try this, you just kind of try to walk in body half. So right leg, right arm moving forward, left leg, left arm moving forward. And if you kind of keep walking, if you have enough space, you can keep walking like this. Your body will ask you to organize differently, and it will eventually organize differently. It will be like, nope, and it will kind of move you back into cross-lateral movement, usually, most of the time. So one of the big themes surrounding body half is stability, mobility. And it comes out of these themes that are polarities. And body half itself is kind of set up as a polarity. There's this side or there's that side. There's yes or there's no. There's this or that. There's love, there's hate. There's known, there's the unknown. There's right, there's left. So, I mean, you could make a whole list of polarities surrounding this side or that side. And that's another episode if we haven't done it already. But I think it can be really useful for you to move through polarities in your life and maybe even move them through your body in this way. So just a thought if you wanted to try this sometime, if you had some sort of decision you had to make or some sort of polarity that was really like living in your body pretty strongly, right? And I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should go to college or if I should work for a year. I don't know if, you know, I should be with this person or not be with this person. I don't know if I should, you know, like, and lots of decisions that move through our lives. So if you have one that you're kind of grappling with right now, you could try putting one side of the decision in one side of your body. And like we just had done when we kind of divided our body in half, you could put, you know, and then choose which side. So say I'm grappling with a decision. I'm going to decide which side do I want to put that on, my right side or my left side? Because that's also, as I mentioned, meaningful, right? I'm right hand dominated. I'm left foot dominated. Do I want to kick this decision over the mountains with my strong left leg, or do I want to like really work through it with my articulate right hand? So you could decide, but you could put one part of a polarity or a decision or this or that on one side of your body and just kind of move that idea. And I know that can be kind of an out there idea, like move an idea. But I don't know, just holding it for a little bit. Holding this idea and letting it move through the body, letting it move through one side. And then moving to the other polarity and moving it through that side. So like love, hate, it's kind of like a, you know, a pretty typical, unoriginal one, but it's so like visceral that maybe that's an example. So I have like a pretty hard time with the word hate at all. So I might choose a different word, but yeah, if there's like this feeling of like love in, I'm going to go the left side of my body, what does that feel like? This sense of love, and how does that move? And I just live into that for a while and noticing what it feels like. And then maybe the other side, I'm going to go with anger instead. And I go to the other side, and how does anger live on the other side of my body? What sort of movement comes out? How do these two like relate? How do they connect maybe? How do they not connect, right? And so polarities are these opposite ends of things that also like don't really exist without each other. So different from a paradox, I think, that is like opposite things that like really don't make sense. But these polarities live separately but connected to each other. So I've got love on one side and I've got hate or anger on the other side of my body. And as I'm moving these two feelings, these two sides, what are the like commonalities maybe? Where's the bigger sense of self, the whole self that can encompass both of these feelings, both of these polarities, as my body halves unite, perhaps? So yeah, I know that's kind of a lot to toy with, but just an idea, you know, maybe the next time you have a difficult decision to make, just kind of like, kind of weighing. It's what we do a lot. We weigh two sides of a decision. So back to stability, mobility, which is also a polarity and a theme within the La Bombertine of work. And this is such a big part of body half. So we stabilize one side of our body to move into space with the other side of our body. And stability and mobility really need each other, right? We find stability so that we can move into mobility. And there's lots of examples of how something is stable because of the mobility involved, right? So you think about riding a bicycle, right? So you're riding your bicycle, it's mobile, things are going, you're going. You slow down. If that bike doesn't keep going, it doesn't keep the mobility going, it's going to fall over, right? So the stability of being upright is made possible by the mobility. I was thinking of some other examples, just actually balancing, standing upright, standing on two feet, or sitting even. But if you want to stand for a moment, we often think of like standing as a stable, still thing that happens. But our bodies are always making these little micro adjustments of mobility. We are constantly modulating, and we have all these reflexes that are like upright, stay upright, and little shifts of weight and our postural sway that happens in this little figure eight motion. We're constantly adjusting these little moments of mobility to find stability and uprightedness. It's pretty amazing. I think about trees and their stability and mobility, right? You've got this trunk that feels very like strong and hard and stable, and it's rooted into the ground. And then the wind comes and it allows for mobility. and it allows the trees to sway and move with the wind. And if it didn't, the tree would probably just break off. So the fact that that mobility is present from the stability allows it to keep going. I think a lot of building, I don't know much about this, but I think a lot of architecture and buildings are the same way, especially to withstand earthquakes. Like, there's actually a lot of mobility in them, which is kind of terrifying to think about, like being in a tall building that's swaying. But I think they've been designed that way to withstand something through mobility. And I think walking is also, even though most walking as like an adult or, you know, from childhood to adulthood is in cross-lateral, you can think about this moment of stability on one leg while the other leg is mobile and passing through. So we're allowing ourselves to be mobile through this constant modulation of stability. Lots of martial arts have this body half stability, mobility going on. One of my students presented this beautiful presentation on martial art form, which I'm not remembering the name of right now. And so she showed a lot of the movement, and I just kept going, it's in body half. It's all in body half. Like, how is that the more powerful thing than cross-lateral? But it's that stability of planting one side of your body and like, you know, whatever punching or blocking or whatever it was with the other side of the body. It was so fascinating to be reminded of that. And I think just my last little hit here, just thinking about this, particularly this theme as it connects to body half in your life, like metaphorically, psychologically, like when do you find stability? How does that feel to you? When do you find mobility and how does that feel to you? And when do you need mobility, right? And how does it come out of stability? I think of just a bigger sort of like metaphor would be like as a parent, I try to provide stability for my kiddo, right? Like a sense of grounding and a sense of calm and a sense of home and a sense of place. And that allows him to be so mobile. He's an active kiddo, but it allows him to move. Where, you know, I think if maybe I was always going or this or that, or which I go plenty, but like if I was, you know, if things were always unstable in that way, if things were always mobile for a kid and going, that they would have to find stability maybe in a different way, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. People raise children in many, many different ways. So this isn't like a judgment thing, but I was just reflecting on my own life as a parent, just like trying to provide a sense of stability for my child, which I think does give him a pretty good sense of mobility. But I think there's many other like life metaphors in there. Traveling, you know, when you get that itch to go somewhere and travel, how that mobility might give you a sense of inner stability, perhaps. I invite you just to play with these ideas. I hope this was helpful. And then, next episode, we will move into